Temptation. Yeah, then I'll tell you about my friend Nancy who's going to sing. So let's get quiet. Let's take a moment here, and we're going in, as I like to say, put your hard hats on. We're going in. And notice these candles. Leo always gives me these lovely candles because, I like an open eye meditation. We can sit and get eyes closed anytime. We can sit eyes open anytime, I guess. But I for years now, I've enjoyed, when I'm by myself here, to enjoy an open eye meditation looking at a flickering candle. So you notice these candles, these two heart-shaped kind of candles. Thank you, Leo, for the Valentine's Day connection, the love connection. So perhaps we'll focus on our divine power of love today. But first, let's affirm the Christ in me is awake now. Those of you who care to, remember the Christ in me, the Christ is not a person, it's a consciousness. So those of you who care to, first I'm going to say it. The Christ in me is awake now. Anybody who wants to, say it with me. The Christ in me is awake now. And breathe. Gently breathe in through your nose and mouth. Do it at your own pace. You're breathing. But remember to breathe. Breathe consciously while you watch the flickering flame of the beautiful candle. And as I'm aware that the Christ in me is awake now, I flow down to my heart. I suggest we focus on our heart and our solar plexus. They're right next door to each other. And the divine mind faculty of love is in my heart. And the faculty of wisdom is in my solar plexus. And love and wisdom work together to create not a power, but a function. And the function is called discernment. So love and wisdom awakened in me now. Love awakened in my mind, awakened in every cell, every tissue, every fiber of our being. As God is love, I am love. Wisdom awakened in every cell, every tissue, every fiber of my being. As God is wisdom itself, I am wisdom. And so these faculties working together that I may discern the next right thing to think, the next right thing to say, and the next right thing to do. Love and wisdom awakened in me now. Lets me realize my priorities that I must first consciously connect as a God being. I can't actually connect with God because God is never disconnected. But I can connect my thoughts in the conscious awareness of God. I can connect my thoughts by way of love and wisdom with the love that is God, the wisdom that is God. I can connect my thoughts with all the good that is, with what ought to be thought, said, and done by me in a perfect order. And so with this ability for discernment awakened in us now, let's get quiet for a moment and allow love and wisdom turning into discernment to reveal itself to us by way of the flickering candle of what ought to be next thought, said, and done by us. Become aware of your thoughts. Become aware if there are thoughts you wish to maintain or they are thoughts you wish to release. My suggestion is we invite true thoughts, those which have no opposite. And let's go on in and see what gets revealed through our powers. Keep breathing. Love, awake in me now. Wisdom, awake in me now. Creating discernment in me now. The Christ in me is awake now, fully aligning all that ought to be thought, said, and done by me. So knowing that, let's be assured that what we seek has already taken place. And we may begin to bring our focus back here to this sanctuary, this place called unity. And as we come back, let us come back refreshed, renewed, fully aware of the good that has just taken place, that we may say thank you and amen. Lovely. Lovely. So today's soloist is my good friend, Nancy Timpanero Hogan. Nancy, I used to live with Nancy. She brought me to New York. Nancy has sung for us before, but I don't remember when it was. It's been a few years. And these two videos are from the past, obviously, because she's not singing live in my office here, live and in person. But I found these two videos. Nancy is one of my all-time favorite singers. Lots of great singers. Nancy is extraordinary. And this first song was arranged by Michael Orland. If you don't know him, he's now big with the American Idol, but he used to play at Don't Tell Mama. And when I moved to New York, he was Nancy's music director, and they arranged this song together, this medley together. And it's called The Miracle Medley. And it's our struggle to how do we get to spirit in things. And then I'll tell you about the second song later. Let's go ahead and hear Nancy now. Take the falling rain.
and kiss it with the sun. What miracles are all about. If you believe in miracles, then fantasies do come true. But just know that that there's me and you, that's what miracles are all about.
Take a miracle,
yes, take a miracle.
That's Nancy Timpanero. And I, if you heard that song, if she were in the room with us right now, our ears would be bleeding a little bit. She is so splendid and bleeding for a good reason, because the burst of that when you're in the room, a voice and that intent and those lyrics mean so much to me when I listen to them. And it's a great thing about music. It can all be interpreted. And we can say, oh, is that about God? But it can't be. Because she keeps thinking about you. So it can't necessarily be about God. But what it can be is about our connection to each other. And it's going to take a miracle for us to find our connection to each other. Because we're people and we forget and we get selfish and we get forgetful, really, is what it comes down to. So I hear in the Revealing Word, I love my stack of books here. I'm not reading from all of them today. But I looked up miracle in the Revealing Word. What it says here, well, they quote Webster. It says, an event or an effect in the physical world beyond or out of the ordinary course of things, deviating from the known laws of nature or transcending our knowledge of these laws. Mr. Fillmore, Charles Fillmore, Unity's co-founder, says, in reality, miracles are events that take place as a result of the operation of a higher unknown law. All true action is governed by law. Nothing just happens. All happenings are the result of cause and can be explained under the law of cause and effect. I love that. He goes on to say, mighty things have been wrought in the past by those who had mere blind faith to guide them. To faith, we now add understanding of the law, and our achievements will be a fulfillment of the promise. He that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do. So the Fillmores brought Jesus into that. Now, we have the Holy Spirit's interpretation here of the New Testament. And in John chapter 6, let me make sure of something here. I don't want to get the wrong one. Wouldn't that be embarrassing? Just terribly embarrassing. John 6:16. There we go. It's what I thought it was. The miracle of the light is not a miracle at all. It only seems to be a miracle to you because you do not know the light and you do not have faith in the light's presence. The light is God, and the light is with you. So all that is possible with God is possible with you. Only your lack of faith, a lot of people say lack of faith. I say misdirection of faith. Only your misdirection of faith tells you it's not so. You go out in search of the light when the light is with you and the light is you. We understand that. You go out in search of the light. When the light is with you and the light is you, how will you find the light when you do not know where to look? How can you know the light when you do not have faith in yourself? The light is life, and so the light is the bread of life. It is acceptance of the light that opens one's eyes to life, so that they may not be see death, but may see only life. We're going to read that again in a little bit. But for now, it's going to take a miracle. And isn't it nice to know that a miracle is just an everyday event that I don't necessarily understand? And what a relief that a miracle isn't something outside of divine law. It's so important to me in my studies of truth and wisdom and, well, unity, that every bit of this is practical and practicable. Every bit of it, there cannot be anything that I cannot access. There can't be any type of health or healing that I, if it's possible, I have to be able to access it. If there is something within God that we could heal the relationships, imagine peace on earth, let it begin with me and let it continue with me. And I became a radiating magnet of light and love, and first in my mind and then in my practice, and it shifts because it has to be possible. It absolutely has to be. So if you look at so much that's on Facebook and on the news and everything, and I've got to ask us, all of us, are we healing it or are we perpetuating it? Because it's fun. It's fun to make fun of people, and it's fun to scold and criticize, and it's fun to put these people down and because they deserve it. They're doing terrible things. But the thing is, my exacerbating the terrible thing just maintains the terrible. I don't want to maintain the terrible. This week, I began praying for those I was afraid of, or have been afraid of, for those who scare me, for those who anger me, for those who aren't behaving the way I think they should. And my prayer is, God, I am willing that they be joy-filled. And when I said it about a couple of the people the other day, man, it hurt my heart a little bit, because I haven't been committed that all beings be joy-filled, because I've been mad at a couple of beings, because I don't like their behavior, and I'm afraid of their behavior, and I'm afraid of how their behavior is going to affect me and so many that I love. But nevertheless, I know, I have it on good authority, that joy-filled people don't hurt other people. Now, how many of us would be willing that some of those people in the news, in our government, in show business, in your home, in your neighborhood, how many of us would be willing that all of those people become joy-filled? And they became joy-filled because you were willing to see them that way. You were willing to experience them that way. Boy, that'd take a miracle, wouldn't it? It's going to take a miracle. And then, you know, when Nancy sang the second song, that's what miracles are all about. Take a look around. Tell me what you see. Can you see within and without? The very fact remains, there's me and you. That's what miracles are all about. And so we look at that. And if I look at my neighbor down the street who I don't care for. The other night we came home and I looked over at their house and I prayed over their house and I prayed and I declared, I didn't say, oh, please God, make it joy-filled. I said, I affirm there's joy in that household. Whether this person and I ever make up, I affirm there is joy in this that household for these people, and there is joy in my household for David and me and our kiddies. I affirm that now, and I am willing to know that it's okay with me if they become joy-filled. And it's okay with me if we find a resolution of peace between us. And it's not like there's this loud rancor. It's silent. It's been silent for years, but it's here. And it speaks inside of me. And it does not make me experience health to a greater degree. Not spiritual health, not mental health, not physical health. Now, it would seem it would take a miracle, because what I want in my silliness, we'll call it silliness, I want the offense that I said happened never to have happened. That's what I want in order to experience total forgiveness. But of course, you can't do that. It happened, and then I told myself what it meant when it happened. And I've been telling myself for years what it meant and what I think they should do to make amends. Now, I'm the one that has to make the amends. If I've got a burr on my behind, if I have got a judgment, a criticism, where if I'm not experienced peace, it's because I have disturbed the peace. The peace has been disturbed, and it's been disturbed by my thoughts. And one could say, but they did that. And it's like, yes, they did that. And I told myself what it means. And I told myself to get mad about it and to stay mad about it. And when I remember, I go within and I say, God, tell me about this, or Spirit, tell me about this. Tell me the truth about this. Imagine every time you turned on the news, you really ask God, Spirit, whatever word you want to use, tell me about what they're saying. Is there a way to a new thought that brings peace to all? Not just some, but peace to all. Is there a way this contentiousness, this adversarial behavior, whether it's adversarial towards each other, whether it's adversarial towards me, whether it's adversarial to who, whatever the news story is that I'm watching, because most news stories are focused on something adversarial. And so to look at that, it would take a miracle for this to all heal. And I'm willing for a miracle, which means I'm willing that something takes place that I don't necessarily understand, in words at least, but I understand it's possible. It would take that kind of a miracle. It can't be outside of the law of God. It has to be within the law of cause and effect. But if thought is cause, and my thought could change everything, well, wow, wouldn't that be impressive? If my thought could have great influence on this world that I live in, that all beings be joy-filled. And here's a good reason why. Because joy-filled people don't hurt other people. If we were all suddenly rendered joy-filled in our world, well, I mean, and I know that, I know it's a, I can't remember the word now. It's we'll call it an altruistic thought for right now. Currently, it's a theory. We need, as spiritual scientists, to prove it. But it has to be possible. It has to be possible. Charles Fillmore, when he does the Lord's Prayer, it's Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will is done in earth as it is in heaven. It's not a prayer for the future. It's about now. In earth, forgive us our trespasses, we forgive those who trespass against us, and lead us not into temptation, for thine is the kingdom and the power. But in earth as it is in heaven. And of course, the forgiveness is simultaneous. And it's not about God somewhere forgiving us. It's we will have simultaneous realization of forgiveness within us all. As I experience the forgiveness from my neighbor, I experience the forgiveness from myself. I experience the forgiveness for our planet. I experience the forgiveness for money. I experience the forgiveness for all beings. And so with that, And yes, again, I say, it's going to take a miracle. But what is the miracle? But turning on the light. So I wanted to read again today because I think it's so worth reading. In the Holy Spirit's interpretation of the New Testament, the book of John, chapter 6, verse 16, it starts with, and it says, the miracle of the light is not a miracle at all. It only seems to be a miracle to you because you do not know the light, and you do not have faith in the light's presence. The light is God, and the light is with you. So all that is possible with God is possible with you. Only your, not lack of faith, what did I say before? I forgot. And I know it, I say it every day. A misdirection of faith. Thank you. Only your misdirection of faith tells you it is not so. You go out in search of the light when the light is with you and the light is you. How will you find the light when you do not know where to look? How can you know the light when you do not have faith in yourself? The light is life, and so the light is the bread of life. It is acceptance of the light that opens one's eyes to life so that we may not see death, but we may see only life. The acceptance. So how many of us today could accept, oh, light isn't just in me, it is me. And I am willing that consciously that it be turned on so that I may see it and I may know it, that I may become so intimately familiar with the light. There's a miracle for us today. And there's our assignment for this week. I don't usually give assignments, but today I do. That knowing the light is our main goal, not fixing anything, not fixing our mind, not fixing our body, not fixing our money, not fixing the politicians, not fixing the world, knowing the light. May I know the light so that I may be willing that all beings be joy-filled. How about that? Would that be acceptable to you today? Would that be your blessed miracle for today? And Nancy's about to sing another song, and it's a song about trying. And so the thing is, as I'm looking to know the light, and I forget, I will try a new way to know the light. I will begin my journey today with the desire to be intimately familiar with the light. And when I forget how, I will try again. Thanks, everybody. Let's listen to Nancy and her New Year's Eve hat.
What a great day, huh? And I'm very grateful to be here and to be a part of it. This is a rare and very special community. It's a treasure. And when you don't have an opportunity to be here all the time and you get to come in and experience it, it just blows you away. Really. I know you treasure it. So I've been singing this song since 1984. It was written by a good friend of mine called Michael Brill. His name is Michael Brill. And, you know, as with every song that you sing over the course of many, many years, you have different life experience, so you have different meanings. And I thought about this song because I turned 65 yesterday and just blows. It's a big one. It was a big one to get that Medicare card, let me tell you. Was not prepared for it. But anyway, so I don't know what this means right now. I'm open to all the possibilities. I'm willing. Willing. Now that I have begun, I want more.